Hi, everybody. It's July 28th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And everything we do, including where we're going to archive this podcast, is over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Proud to tell you our back-to-school issue is now up on site. That, of course, is of our online journal, Equity and Access. You will enjoy it if you go over there. It's a wonderful 80-page issue with some great information, some great advertisers, everything you want to know about equity and access, some great insights for pre-K-12 educators, from superintendents to classroom teachers. It's really just good stuff. Of course, all our podcasts are over there. See what we do at our consortium at ace-ed.org. If you want to join with us, everything we do over there is free to educators, so I hope you take advantage of it. We got a lovely show today with Krista Walker. Krista is from Boxlight, and she is a professional development program manager over there with 25 years in education. Not bad for a 35-year-old person. Maybe she's talking about her own K-12 experience. Right, Krista? You like that one? Did you like that, Krista?
Good morning. I did. Thank you, Larry, so much for having
me. You're more than welcome. It's a pleasure to meet you, too. Okay? And you're good in social, emotional learning and all that, but what we're going to talk about is, and again, you work with the school districts, with professional development, and how that's changed over the last year with COVID. I mean, you're right there with it. Okay? So let's talk about how it's changed, what it looks and feels like as we get into this year. And by the way, you're working, if I'm not mistaken, from Boxlight with the Phoenix Union High School District in Arizona, right?
That's correct. Yeah, Phoenix Union High School District is one of the largest and most progressive high school districts we have in the country. So we have been very fortunate. This is going to be our eighth year of partnership with them.
Wow,
so very large.
You know them well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know them very well, so it was nice to have that relationship as this, you know, shift changed to remote learning. They have 22 schools, 28,000 students, over 4,000 employees, and of that is like over 1,400 teachers. So our program started with, you know, customized district-wide programming for them with technology integration. And, you know, really, I think everybody can think back to, for us, our date was March 13th, 2020. We got a call that they were moving completely to remote. And by March 16th, we had done a redesign of the program structure and were up and running right alongside them as they made that shift. So it was quite a time when we were back there in March. But
Yeah, March 13th was the date, by the way. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to remember it in education, like at Pearl Harbor or something. You know?
Yeah,
like March 13th.
There's that date.
Go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that date is embedded in everybody for
it
sure.
It is. It's unbelievable. But the other date, I just had to listen to what you just said. You said that was March 13th, so you got the weekend 14th, 15th. And by the way, March 16th, that Monday, nobody knew what was going on at that stage of the game. All we know was that there was no school. When you said you got everything all set up, okay, what'd you do? That's amazing.
Right.
I'm a weekend.
Yeah.
I'm pretty impressed. Yeah.
Yeah, so fortunately, you know, because, you know, for the teachers, I would say majority of them had not taught in that online environment. But that is something that we teach too.
Let me help you.
There's
a vast majority, not just the majority, the vast majority, right? They were
vast
never trained
majority,
to do it.
Right.
What they did was amazing. Yeah.
Right. And really, you know, at the beginning, it was really that crisis planning, right? So it was, how do I connect to my students? How do I make sure that they're safe, that they have what they need? You know, technology became, you know, thrusted into the forefront, but there
yep.
was all these other factors outside of it that were really important too. You know, do they have access? Do they have Wi-Fi? Do we have enough devices for everybody? And, you know, with Phoenix Union in particular, they really relied on their partnerships, relationships, community, everybody they could utilize to make sure that, you know, the students had what they needed. But those first 3 months, the last part of that school year, was really where we saw this change happen. So for us, we our program typically was in person. So we were on campus. We would be there full days with them. We were providing support with small group sessions, working with their professional learning communities. We were in the classroom providing technology support. And then we had one-to-one coaching set up. And fortunately, we had virtual coaching as part of our program.
Wow.
So we had this base, we had this base system in place, right? So teachers were familiar how to access our support and were familiar on how to use that base platform. But what we did is we modified that program. So taking what we did on that day-to-day basis, working with the campuses in person, we created what we called learning labs. So these were, we listened to the district, we listened to our partners on the campuses, we listened to the teachers and knew, okay, here's what our priorities are. And so we focused on those technology tools that they had access to and then how to use those and, you know, starting very basic, but up to how do I teach with these? And then we also created what we call virtual playgrounds. So this was really active learning. It was a place where teachers could try, they could explore, they could have successes, they could fail, but it was before they went into the classroom and tried it with their students. So that was
That's
something
good.
That was
That's
really
good.
Welcomed.
Yeah, and failure was good. And, you know, I want to talk about something here. I mentioned at the very beginning, and I love having you guys on, okay, you work with BoxLight, BoxLight.com. I want everyone to go over there. And we're talking about all the wonderful things you did with Phoenix Union. Tell everybody a little bit about BoxLight, okay, and what BoxLight does. And you mentioned something else. You said you've been working with them for 8 years with professional development. Okay,
correct.
I want you to talk about that for a second because I think that's great. Okay, that you were able that the company sticks with the school district like that is actually as things change with the products and what the district's needs are. And, you know, 8 years is a long time. Okay, to be doing
right.
the professional development to make it work. So talk about BoxLight, what they do for the district. And then what 8 years of professional development is like. I found that very interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, so BoxLight is a global company in education technology. So not only do we have our suite of hardware that's available that we work with districts on, but we also have software, including our Mimio platform and Mimio Connect, our blended learning platform that evolved because of what happened and the needs that we were seeing out there. But then we also have STEM and STEAM, and we have professional development, which is where our services lie, that really tie all those pieces together.
And by the way, I'm
going to
stop you for 1 second. The only thing I'm going to stop you, I got a press release today, okay, from you guys. I just want to read the first paragraph, okay? This is today. BoxLight Corporation, a leading provider of interactive technology, digital signage, and software solutions, today announced the release, do you know this, of the Big STEM Guide, Volume 3, which provides educators with content and resource information to broaden their STEM instructional plans. I thought since it came in today, I'd mention it. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. STEM is a huge component of what we do, very important, and also, you know, really ties that PD factor in too. So one of the things we really focus on is nobody wants to make this investment in technology or in professional development and have it just be and exist, collect dust, or not be utilized.
Yeah.
So it's really,
yep.
you know, when you talk about this 8 years, what that really means is we invest in those who have invested in us and in our services and products and really thrive on those relationships that we have built. So whether that's somebody that we've spoken to for the first time or it's this 8-year relationship like we have with Phoenix Union, it's really about how to build that capacity, get teachers the skills they need to utilize that technology, and then really focus on those practices for teaching with technology. You know, it's not going to replace, but what the pandemic showed us is this is an opportunity for us to redesign, rethink how we're doing things and how we utilize that technology in a more effective and efficient way. And so I think that's opened some doors for this. And, you know, going back to your question about what does 8 years look like, for us as EOS, we're a Microsoft Global Education Partner. We are a Google for Education Partner. So their main platform was Microsoft. So that's where we really started, was we have these tools. We want to use these not only efficiently as, you know, for our operations, but how do we utilize this in the classroom? And then that evolved. So what other technology did they have available? Was that their projectors? Was it their dock cameras? Was it the additional software that they had? And how to tie those pieces together? And then also, how do we evolve that into more of the learning strategies and the pedagogy? Because as any teacher will tell you, if I'm going to professional development, it needs to be job embedded. It needs to be meaningful. It needs to be something I can use. And
that's
something
right.
I can use quickly, but I also want to have the chance to build my skills to use it in different ways. So that's really where the evolution has taken place. And again, it goes back to listening to what the teachers who are, you know, blood, sweat, and tears in the classroom every single day, what they really want and need, and then align that with those district priorities and what the administration at the campus wants them to do, but really help them with their own professional growth plans. And technology has really become a major key player in a lot of those plans for growth.
Without question it has, and in fact, I always just, people say educational technology. And I always say we can drop the word technology, okay, because education is technology. It would be like saying in the old days, let's do education blackboard, let's do education chalk today, okay, let's do education desks today, education books. It's just part and parcel technology of what education is now, okay? And you said it best, it's not replacing educators, okay? It's helping them teach. It's helping kids learn. That's what it's all about. I mean, I think what you guys are doing great, and what you said, you know, about all the changing needs that come up. And I just want to say this, okay, on this STEM guide, okay, just to show the way things change, there's activities in there, which, believe me, was not mentioned 8 years ago. Okay, for low-income kids, kids with disabilities, English learners, racial and ethnic minorities, I'm reading off this, students experiencing homelessness, foster care youth, okay, addressing learning loss this year among students, including low-income students, children, again, all those same things again, all right? And my point is, professional development, this is what we're going to talk about, has changed over the past year and a half, and will continue to change. And Boxlight, obviously from this press release, and obviously what you're saying, okay, is changing with the times, okay? And
it really is.
You're just in there, and I'm not saying they're old-fashioned, they never were, but the times are changing, and you're making the changes accordingly. Speak.
That comes with, we have to align with all learning environments. So that is something that's come up. So we were in remote. We had hybrid or concurrent learning models. There were some that were in the classroom. But what this really has opened doors to is we want to make it inclusive. We need to have that equitable access. So those pieces that you're talking about there, it's really allowed us to focus on things like student-centered learning or those flexible learning paths. Engagement is always a piece, but really targeting those key areas. So you mentioned we want to have materials and technology that's available to all students, and accessibility is a big piece of that. And so the language that you were just speaking to in that big STEM guide really comes from the ESSER and GEAR guidelines. I know we'll talk about that, but that's specific language to that to help districts and schools and teachers identify those key areas that also then aligns to funding that was available to them and will continue to be important pathways to take for professional development. So we talk about differentiating their instruction and how to plan in a universal way and using technology to enhance those instruction and learning goals. That's all relevant. And it always has but that's been brought to the forefront. And I think those are very specific topics that are now, you know, making headway across districts, across the country, as well as, you know, globally.
Without question, you're really good at this. I like this, Chris. This is great. And you brought up the fund you are. And the funding, okay, is key, the professional development, all right? So talk about this, okay, if you don't mind for a second. Do you know about how the funding's working with professional development, with ESSER and all that sort of stuff?
Right. So with the ESSER and GEAR funding guidelines, there was very specific and required language to align that. And there were very specific things that were directed or that could be used for professional development programming. So what we did with Boxlight and EOS is we created a package to support these content areas. So the areas you talked about, so the unique needs of specific groups of students, that those implementing different programs to address the learning loss. I know teachers don't like to use that term, but that's the language that's in that funding guideline, and how to connect parents and families, and also looking at those evidence-based activities and instruction. You mentioned that as well. So we used the exact language that was required for the grant funding, created these programs so that teachers had, you know, information on what it included, what the description was, some objectives, some possible topics that could be utilized, what those target audiences were, and then gave them the exact language that came from those guidelines for the funding. And then we were able to provide that to the schools or the districts that were applying so they could basically plug that information in. And then we also have a team that's part of our Boxlight family here that was there to support. So teachers or districts could reach out and have somebody to walk them through. Because if you haven't gone through a grant or funding process, it can be pretty taxing and overwhelming, right?
Yeah. It's like filling out your income tax form. It's terrible.
Exactly.
It's worse. It's filling out somebody else's income tax form. It's really bad. Okay? I mean, it's hard to do, so I'm glad you guys have put all that together. You know, over this last year and a half, and you were working with teachers all the time, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I work with them a lot, too. But from your point of view, okay, what was it like for them? I mean, we're talking about how Boxlight changed, how you changed as you realized what they needed. But as you talked, T-A-L-K-E-D, what came out over the last year and a half, and as you talked to them, their attitudes, their feelings, okay? You know, that sort of thing, what they were going through, whatever. Just off the top of your head.
Yeah. You know, I think obviously initially there was this overwhelming sense of stress. There was some sadness. There was some fear, uncertainty.
Yeah.
But because of these relationships and because that's something, you know, that's our foundation, there was this sense that we were in this together. So we definitely saw the lows and supported where we could and took time to really celebrate those achievements and acknowledge and share and lift them up when they needed lifting up. You know, there were days where I'd be scheduled to work with a teacher to, you know, let's say set up their classroom agendas in their Microsoft Teams, and it would turn to a session where I just sat and listened and heard was going on.
I was going to just ask you that question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your listening skills were honed, which is wonderful. Wonderful. So were theirs.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you have to take a step back. A place for that technology, but we're humans and understanding that everybody was going through this in different capacities. So just being that other person that you could say, man, this really didn't work. I have no idea why. I'm completely frustrated. And then taking that information and say, okay, let's take step one. What can we do first? And that's where that one-to-one coaching is really so powerful, because we can have those types of conversations. You get to know people, you know, these are friendships, you know, now that have developed in some cases. But understanding what was really happening on the ground became so crucial really finding then where do we take this in the next phase. And I'll say one of our partners that we work with in another school district, she had this lovely statement that she said, so I want to give her credit. Her name is April Mayo. But she said they focus on compassion over content, compassion over curriculum, and then giving that grace and understanding. And that's so important. You know, we talk about that in working with our students, but as adults, when we're working with adult learners as well, that's really powerful. And I think that was the approach that was taken. But what we've seen, you talked about, okay, so we were in this space, we were in it together, but what happened next is there was this increase in digital fluency that happened for both teachers and students. Even though it was forced in some cases, there was this, I had to learn and I had to use. And now I can really see that there's some benefits to this. Maybe somebody who wasn't, you know, I am pen to paper, I am doing all my printed copies, I am doing things the way I've done, really looked at, wow, this could be really beneficial for, and then fill in the blanks there. But I think the biggest thing was really taking time to celebrate those people that were, they were thinking outside the box. They were super creative, and there was some incredibly inspiring work done in the classrooms. And I think that's one thing we've tried to showcase too as well, is not only what we've provided for them, but what they developed out of this, and highlighting and spotlighting those successes is really important. And especially moving forward, especially when teachers are being asked to do more than they even were before.
and not trained to do a lot of the stuff they're being asked to do, and they did it well, being the true professionals that the vast majority of them are. And I think I know, you mentioned April, and I think I know her. Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's a great name, April Mayo, like the month. April Mayo.
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that a great name? Right. It's a wonderful name. All right. And, you know, you brought up something when you were talking, and just mentioned her. When you were in a district like Phoenix Union, all right, but you also have to work with other districts, which you mentioned a minute ago. Okay. And I don't know, I'll ask you two ways. How much time, and you're the professional development program manager at Boxlight, okay? So how much time do you spend with, I'm just going to use it because we're talking about them, Phoenix Union versus another district? How do you spend your time, allocate your time? And also the difference between the districts. Are you finding that you saw the same challenges across districts?
Yeah, so I'll start there. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What was happening in one place was happening in the other. What was different is, you know, again, it goes back to day to day or week to week or month to month.
Yeah.
It was varying across the country. So I'm in Arizona. That was very different than what was happening in Georgia or on the East Coast versus California. So keeping those factors into place. So spending a lot of time and knowing who you're talking to, the environment that they're working in, and understanding their circumstances is key and essential. But with the districts, you know, it goes back to what did they bring this professional development program in for? You know, so what were the goals, the expectations, all of those pieces? And then what do the teachers need? And it goes back to what do they have access to? What technology do they have? Where are they at in that learning path? You know, are we working with new teachers? Are we working with veteran teachers? And everything in between. So for us, the way we look at professional development is it has to be tiered, it has to be flexible, and it has to be adaptable. So we can have, you know, we have our best practices. We have our model programs based on all these varying factors or platforms, software, hardware that are available. But what it really comes down to is then let's talk about what models they want to use, what learning strategies they focus on, the pedagogy that they're using, and then we align our programs to that. So we use different structures. So as I mentioned with Phoenix Union, we have what's called consultancy days. So we have full days that we extend professional development available. That changed a little bit because we went to block schedules. Teachers didn't have prep time, so time for training became very
limited.
Everything
changed. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, so we had to be flexible on when we could provide that and when it would best meet their needs. We offer that one-to-one support. We have the classroom support sessions where we you know, instruct the students on using the technology, but also modeling for the teachers on how they can help guide the students. So all of these pieces we can provide to a district. So when we talk to them, we ask those questions, and then we can build that customized program based on these foundational pieces. And so that's really where it varies as far as, you know, what the program looks like for that district, how much they have invested in the professional development side, as well as the hardware and software that they might have access to. And then we build that program to meet their needs. And that can be, you know, we're not a, we certainly are not a one and done. We like these long-term relationships with the schools that we work with for sure.
You are not a one and done. You guys, it's not the taillight warranty where the taillights leave your driveway. That's the end of it. Okay. Yeah. You
it
guys
is
are
not.
Terrific at this. Yeah, I know. I know it is. And you know, I'm going to ask you this, which is interesting. You were 25 years in education and you mentioned the word pedagogy. Okay. Which is the way we teach kids. All right? But there's another word, I'm sure you know it, called andragogy, which is the way we teach adults. And in the professional development world, we're teaching adults. And sometimes we think we can teach them the same way we teach kids, but obviously that doesn't work because we're all older and pretend we're wiser, okay, which probably we're really not. The kids are probably smarter, okay? But, you know, as you go through this, and you're the again a great professional development manager. What's that pedagogy andragogy change like for you as you start to work with adults?
Right. So it really is about the just as you mentioned that language. So when we're talking about working with students, so most often our professional development is how do you utilize this technology in your classroom for instruction for the like you said the pedagogy. But when we're talking to the adults and we're training the adults on how to utilize that, we have to really think about that other piece. So we need to understand that they're coming in with varying backgrounds. We already have some preconceived notions. We maybe already have some thoughts and ideas about what this piece of technology does or does not do and how successful it's been. And we have to provide, I think the most important piece for that is really that job embedded piece. Because, again, we're asking teachers to invest their time. And if I, as an educator, was going to a professional development, one, I want to feel like I'm learning something and that I'm my thoughts, my opinions are being valued, that I'm going to be able to take away something that I can utilize immediately, even if it's one small nugget. So we always try to have the do this now, and then we can build on that from there. So building that capacity. But with the adults, we really have to focus on what's meaningful and relevant for them, and then we make that shift within there. So that's our technique in training the adults. But then we provide that context for how to utilize this with students. And I think that's where that those classroom support sessions really become powerful because they can see how we facilitate with the students. And they can take what they learned in the training that was for them and then apply that to utilizing it with the students. So that's a really nice connector. And that's where we try to find those through lines with our professional development is, you know, building that that space for both components because it's relevant and they need it.
I you know what you said, it struck me. You're using, and if I may use the words, you're using andragogy to teach pedagogy. It's really interesting when you think about it. Okay, I mean, it's the only profession where you would actually be doing that. Okay,
right. Normally, it's separated.
Adult teaching to teach them to teach kids. I mean, it's just it's amazing. Okay, when you think about it, what a good job you do. You know, you all excited for this year. When's Arizona go back? When do the kids go back?
So school teachers have returned back to campus. School starts next week.
They'll be returning to in person.
Yeah.
Wow.
No rest for the weary in this heat.
Wow.
We go back August 2nd. It's game on. But
It is.
So they they're doing their district pieces this week, and then
I want you to have better luck.
We'll
I want you to have better luck than the Suns did. Okay, the Phoenix Suns.
I know,
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that. Yeah.
It was a tough
one,
but, you know.
There's always next year.
Long way from where we were.
There's always next year, you know. What can I tell you? And how's the Krista, how's the monsoon going? Yeah, there is a monsoon.
Actually, we are
monsoon
having
season,
one.
Right? Are you having one?
We are having one compared to last year where we had zero. So I think it just met the expectations of what last year incorporated.
Yeah,
so
you guys got
this
good
year
rain
actually,
this week, right?
We're getting some. We did. We had some great storms last week. Up north is getting much needed rain. We're still heavily in a drought, but hopefully some of this rain is helpful.
I want you to come out of that in Phoenix. And if you don't come out of it in Phoenix, go to my favorite place in the world, Sedona, and say hello. Go kiss those red rocks for me, my favorite place. It truly is. It is just the best. What can I say? There in Cottonwood and all those towns up there, I just absolutely love it up there. And Krista, this was just wonderful talking to you. You bring a lot to the party, I got to tell you. Okay, it was really fun.
Well, thank you, Larry.
I mean it.
I really appreciate it.
Well, I had a great time. I hope you did too, and I can't thank you enough. And just have a good year this year. Please stay safe, okay?
You as well, and thanks for sharing all this information out for all those educators out there. Really appreciate the work you're doing too.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it, but it's my guests that get the good stuff out there. So it's a mutual admiration society. Hey, you take care. Good luck in school this year. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay, everybody, that's Krista Walker. Krista is Professional Development Program Manager at Boxlight.com. Just check it out. They do good stuff. And as mentioned, they stick with you. Okay, obviously, and they got the right people doing it. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Ace-ed.org. Our brand new back-to-school issue is up there, so please check it out. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.